The latest round of UN climate negotiations winds up in the German city of Bonn later today. 200 nations have been discussing the future of the 2015 Paris Climate Agreement after the US confirmed that it would withdraw from the accord in 2020 in accordance with the direction of the President Donald Trump. The talks in Bonn have also seen a lot of argument about coal as a fuel of the future, both pro- and anti-coal agendas being promoted in Bonn. Overnight, Britain and Canada launched a new global alliance aimed at encouraging countries to phase out the use of coal. Josh Frydenberg is the Minister for Environment and Energy. He's been in Bonn for the talks, and I spoke with him earlier this morning.
Nice to be with you, Fran.
2 years ago, the United States was a major player, bringing 195 countries together to seal the global climate deal. It's now walking away under the presidency of Donald Trump. Is the Paris Agreement in danger of unravelling? Is that the fear in the corridors and the back rooms there in Bonn?
I don't think so. I think there's been a firm commitment from the more than 160 countries that have already ratified the Paris Agreement, that there is the momentum for it to continue and to make a significant difference in reducing emissions across the board. Some of the major emitters like China and India are at the table, as well as the usual suspects from the European Union, Canada, New Zealand, and other countries in our region.
China and India, in the statistics I've seen, have actually moved ahead more quickly on the promises they made in Paris 2 years ago. How hopeful are you that that momentum will be maintained?
Look, I'm very hopeful. I think there's been a real commitment from the countries about knowledge sharing and a focus on technology and innovation. And Australia has also led a number of new initiatives at this week's COP. We have proposed a blue carbon partnership, which seeks to preserve the world's blue carbon ecosystems, the mangroves, the tidal marshes, the seagrasses, which are so important. In fact, it's blue carbon that can sequester up to four times as much carbon as a terrestrial or land-based forest. We've also been working with countries like Indonesia, Fiji, and other partners in our region to reduce deforestation and to improve land management.
I want to come back to the blue carbon in particular, but speaking of the Pacific Island states, a lot of the focus seems to have been on coal at the talks. Britain and Canada and at least nine other nations signed an anti-coal declaration called the Global Alliance to Power Past Coal. The United States, some Canadian provinces and major corporates have also signed on. Will Australia sign on to this?
No, we won't. And in fact, Australia has a different energy mix to a number of these other countries you've cited. You see, Canada and New Zealand both rely heavily on hydropower and have less than 10% of their energy mix coming from coal. The United Kingdom and France overwhelmingly now rely on nuclear power in increasing amounts. So Australia is in a very different position.
We are attracting some criticism, though. The Marshall Islands, that are a part of that global alliance to power past coal, overnight the president of the Marshall Islands said every nation should seek to end burning coal. Quote, "We are very disappointed, I would say, in Australia because we are neighbours to them. We hope that maybe a new government can come in and change the position of the current government, which is continuing to promote coal." What's your response to those comments?
Well, as you know, Fran, tens of thousands of Australians, particularly in regional communities and particular people from Indigenous backgrounds, rely on our coal industry, and it does help lift people out of energy poverty in other parts of the world and provides for billions of dollars of export income to Australia. It's one of the myths that's being told that coal is not increasing in terms of demand in certain countries, particularly in our region. We've seen countries like India adopt an approach where they're investing heavily in renewables, but also in new coal-fired assets.
Adam Bandt, the Greens climate spokesman, who's also there in Bonn, said that Australia was actively praised by one coal baron, sponsored by the US team in Bonn, praised the Turnbull government, quote, for putting coal back on the table.
Well, in terms of Australia's position on coal, we understand that's an important part of the energy mix. We have adopted in record amounts renewables as part of our energy mix too. As you know, investment in renewables in Australia increased fivefold in 2016 compared to the year prior.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. Our guest is the Federal Energy Minister, Josh Frydenberg, who's at the climate change talks in Bonn. The Paris deal was just the start of a long process. Nations are still struggling to translate the promises into meaningful cuts in greenhouse gas emissions. One index this week projecting the world is heading for 3.4 degrees of warming by 2100. What's not working, in your view?
Well, I think there are a lot of things that are working, and I'd like to focus on the positive aspect of the global cooperation we're seeing. For example, there was a Kigali amendment to the Montreal Protocol, which will phase out hydrofluorocarbons. Now, that's increasingly important to reducing emissions, and Australia was one of the first 10 countries to actually ratify that agreement.
Let's go back briefly to blue carbon. You mentioned it earlier. Australia pledged to protect and manage coastal blue carbon ecosystems in the Pacific. It's called the Pacific Regional Blue Carbon Initiative. How extensive is this? Is it the marine equivalent of a land-based carbon offset?
It's very significant because blue carbon does sequester so much more carbon than a terrestrial land forest. So if you're able to preserve and to conserve these blue carbon ecosystems in the mangroves, in the tidal marshes, in the seagrasses, then you can help tackle climate change. Now, a number of countries in our region, like Indonesia, like Fiji, have large amounts of these blue carbon assets. So we are partnering with them. We're providing $6 million for better data analysis so that the efforts to reduce the impact on blue carbon can form part of countries' nationally determined contributions, the NDCs, which are the linchpin of the Paris Agreement.
Can I just bring you back home now? While you've been away in Bonn at the climate talks, the Australian nation has declared by 61.6% a yes vote for same-sex marriage. The Prime Minister wants Senator Dean Smith's cross-party bill for marriage equality passed before Parliament rises for the year. Immigration and Border Protection Minister Peter Dutton said yesterday he wanted to see, quote, proper parental protections, which would allow parents to opt out of programs such as the Anti-Bullying Safe Schools program. What sort of protections do you want to see in the bill? Are you happy with that Dean Smith bill as it is?
Well, I think the Dean Smith bill is an important starting point for these discussions. And obviously, there will be a lot of detail to be worked out through the parliamentary processes. But this yes vote is a real celebration of the Australian democracy because FRAM were able to maturely handle, as a community, a difficult issue where there are passionate views on both sides. So I would support using the Smith bill as the starting point, bearing in mind we do need to have proper protections, particularly for religious freedoms. And I think we should be trying to do this as quickly as possible, as the Prime Minister has indicated, before Christmas.
And with the focus on marriage equality before Christmas, is that going to delay the government getting an agreement on energy policy, the National Energy Guarantee? You were hoping to have that done and dusted by the end of the year too, weren't you?
Well, look, the key for the National Energy Guarantee, Fran, will be the meeting with the state energy ministers, the COAG Energy Council, of which the Commonwealth chairs, and that is coming up next week. It will be an important meeting where we will make available the modelling results that we have undertaken on the National Energy Guarantee. And I'm hopeful of a constructive discussion where the states come to the table with an open mind. But there is a long way to go in that debate too.
Josh Frydenberg, thank you very much for joining us.
Good to be with you, Fran.
Josh Frydenberg is the Minister for Environment and Energy, speaking to us from Bonn, from the UN Climate Talks.